alcohol doesn't console. It doesn't fill up anyone's psychological gaps. All it replaces is the lack of God. It doesn't comfort man. On the contrary, it encourages him in his folly. It transports him to the supreme regions where he's master of his own destiny. Now, these are not my words, nor are they the words of any other preacher. These are the words of the French writer Marguerite Duras. She made a very accurate and a very reasoned observation. Alcohol doesn't do any of the things that it promises or is expected to do, but it does bring with it a tremendous amount of heartache. We're going to look at some of that today.
And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We thank you for joining us today. We begin a brand new study this week, one that is a little different from what we've done in the past. We've entitled this particular study, I Don't Drink. There was a preacher who delivered a very excellent lesson on the evils of drinking and all of the various pitfalls associated with drinking alcohol. And he gave a piece of advice that I've always found very useful. He says, when someone offers you something to drink, and by that we mean, of course, alcoholic beverages to drink, he said, there's only one answer that a Christian can give. You say, I don't drink. Giving that answer has given me the opportunity to teach some people about what the Bible says regarding the drinking of alcohol, because usually they are very surprised by that answer. Now, most in the world today see that drunkenness is wrong. They see a person become intoxicated to the point that he can no longer speak or no longer stand up, and they see that that is wrong. But more than two-thirds of the world's population, two out of every three people, think that social drinking, and that's a term that we use that means I'll drink a little bit whenever I want to, but I'll never become drunk based on my drinking. Many believe that that is fine. In fact, you can engage in social drinking every day, they say, and never be drunk. Unfortunately, there are many who call themselves Christians who defend this very same practice. Now, often when we talk about alcohol, we're very concerned about our children, and we should be. According to the U.S. government, in 1996, there were about 9 million drinkers under the age of 21. We're told that about 4.5 million of these are binge drinkers. That means that they may not drink every day, but when they drink, they will drink themselves to the point of passing out based on the amount of drinking that they have done. Just in the last few years here in America, we've heard of many college students and high school students engaged in binge drinking who have killed themselves, not because they drank and were in a car accident, but they've killed themselves by taking in so much alcohol in such a short period of time that they've poisoned their body to the point of death. We also notice that it seems to be extending to much younger children all the time. We're told that about 80% of 12th graders have admitted to having a drink in the past year, about 70% of 10th graders, and what surprised me was even as many as half, 50% of all 8th graders have admitted to having a drink in the past year. But we need to be concerned about all drinkers, not just the children. The alcoholic beverage industry here in America shows that they have about $1.4 billion in sales in the year 1995. That's the last year that I had statistics for. $1.4 billion. That means that we're not, as Americans, having an occasional drink, but rather it's almost as though our nation is being flooded with alcohol. Now, I know from even my short travels overseas that many other countries have a very similar situation. Alcohol, by its very nature, is poisonous. When a person drinks alcohol, he is poisoning himself. We call it intoxication, and we can hear the word toxic in that. And we understand that that's a bad thing in almost every realm, but when it comes to alcohol, many times we simply turn our brains off. We should not drink alcohol. A Christian cannot drink alcohol because it does harm your body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul said, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom we have from God, and you are not your own? This body has been given to us, but we are simply a steward of it. We should not damage it. We should not harm it. And when we drink alcohol, we do harm our body. We know this not only from science, but also from the Bible itself. In Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 29, we read, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it is red. When it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper." Medical authorities can cite over 60 different diseases that are caused either directly or indirectly by alcohol. It affects our heart, our liver, it makes people have diabetes, and there are many other things separate and aside from, but certainly in addition to, addiction to alcohol. As we move on in our study, we will understand that God intends for us to be healthy and holy people here in this earth, and we cannot do that if we're involved in drinking. Now, some often say that there are great benefits, great health benefits to drinking, but that's not the truth. They say that doing this improves your digestion. Medicine has proven that that's not true. They say that it improves your nerves. Medicine has proven that that's not true. All of these claims that have been made have been proven false through the years. Well, why are they continually made? Well, they're continually made because we've decided that we want to drink, and if we want to drink, we'll find an excuse. We need to understand how risky alcohol is. We also need to understand that we cannot have alcohol, we cannot drink alcohol, and a Christian should not, because it destroys his influence. And we notice in the first case it's harmful to the body, but in the second case it's harmful to our influence. How many souls have you ever seen won to Christ by two men sitting down over a beer and talking about Christ? Well, of course it doesn't happen. It never happens, because we know that that's a completely inappropriate setting. The two simply do not go hand in hand. We need to remember the admonition that Paul gave to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be thou an example to the believers." Now, notice six areas that he gave: in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We should be an example of the believers in conduct. Philippians 1 and verse 27 says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We can't be an example of the believers in conduct and at the same time have our conduct dictated by and changed by the alcohol that we take into our bodies. Now, the second area that we'd like to notice, the second of those six things that was listed, is that we're supposed to be an example of the believers in purity. Notice, if you would, the words of James chapter 3 and verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." Does that sound like the purity that comes from the bottom of a beer bottle? Or is that the purity that comes from abstaining, from keeping yourself away from something that will take over you and cause you to do what it wants you to do rather than what God has commanded? When we talk about being pure before God, the picture that comes to our mind is not a bottle of whiskey. Rather, it is one who keeps himself away from those things. There's a reason for this. It goes back to the conduct that we talked about. We can all see the conduct of those who drink and what the drink does to and with them. Now, even if you do not become addicted and you don't suffer any kind of drastic physical disease, that doesn't mean that your drinking is not harmful, because your drinking may very well encourage someone else to drink, and they may be so affected. So even if I were to drink and it didn't affect me, I didn't get a disease, I didn't behave poorly, I never became drunken by it, if my drinking caused someone else to, how would I answer for such a thing? For we will answer in the last day for the influence that we have over others. In closing, let me give a third reason. Alcohol should not be consumed by a Christian. So Christians simply cannot take part in drinking because it makes for very poor stewardship. The things that we have in this life are not our own, but rather they are gifts that come from God. Now, we mentioned that the alcohol industry here in America brings in about $104 billion a year. That was in 1995. Now, that means that people spent $104 billion in that one year. Now, this is money that could have and probably should have gone to paying their rent or their mortgage, buying food or clothing for their children, taking care of the financial responsibilities that we have in this life. I wonder how many Christians, members of the Lord's church even, who have an opportunity and a responsibility to spread the gospel throughout the whole world, have misused the money that God has put in their charge and used it for alcohol rather than for evangelism. It makes us wonder. It's a very sobering thought in every sense of the word to think about the fact that God has put within our control the wonderful blessings that He has. We will answer for how we use them. Will the answer be, well, Lord, you know, I never really got drunk, so all of that money that I spent on alcohol was okay? We need to understand, and we've looked at three different things today, that a Christian cannot participate in drinking of alcohol, even at a social level, because drinking alcohol does harm the body. It's been abundantly proven. Because it does destroy the influence of the Christian, of that there is certainly no doubt. And it is a gross misuse of the funds, the blessings, the money that God has provided for His people to use in His service here on this earth. Now, Lord willing, we're going to come back to this topic. I want to look at one more reason that we should not drink and answer some of the many arguments that are often made in favor of social drinking and look at them in light of God's Word.